Welcome to day 105 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita, your host, and I'm happy to have you back with me again as we continue reading through the Word of God in chronological order. Today, we are going to read five Psalms, which were all written by David during the time frame of 1 Samuel, which we have been reading this week. So you're going to enjoy this so very much because all of these psalms flow right with the events that we've been hearing about in these chapters of 1 Samuel while David was fleeing from King Saul. So today we will read Psalm 7, Psalm 27, Psalm 31, Psalm 34, and Psalm 52, all from the New American Standard Bible. Beginning at Psalm 7 and verse 1. Psalm 7, the Lord implored to defend the psalmist against the wicked, a Shigion of David, which he sang to the Lord concerning Cush, a Benjamite. O Lord my God, in you I have taken refuge. Save me from all those who pursue me, and deliver me, or he will tear my soul like a lion, dragging me away while there is none to deliver. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there is injustice in my hands, if I have rewarded evil to my friend, or have plundered him who without cause was my adversary, let the enemy pursue my soul and overtake it, and let him trample my life down to the ground and lay my glory in the dust. Arise, O Lord, in your anger. Lift up yourself against the rage of my adversaries, and arouse yourself for me. You have appointed judgment. Let the assembly of the peoples encompass you, and over them return on high. The Lord judges the peoples. Vindicate me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and my integrity that is in me. O, let the evil of the wicked come to an end, but establish the righteous. For the righteous God tries the hearts and minds. My shield is with God, who saves the upright in heart. God is a righteous judge, and a God who has indignation every day. If a man does not repent, he will sharpen his sword. He has bent his bow and made it ready. He has also prepared for himself deadly weapons. He makes his arrows fiery shafts. Behold, he travails with wickedness, and he conceives mischief and brings forth falsehood. He has dug a pit and hollowed it out, and has fallen into the hole which he made. His mischief will return upon his own head, and his violence will descend upon his own pate. I will give thanks to the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Psalm 27, a psalm of fearless trust in God, a psalm of David. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war rise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. One thing I have asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent, he will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock. And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and be gracious to me and answer me. When you said, "Seek my face," My heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not abandon me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path because of my foes. Do not deliver me over to the desire of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Psalm 31, a psalm of complaint and of praise. For the choir director, a psalm of David. Verse 1. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me quickly. Be to me a rock of strength and a stronghold to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, you will lead me and guide me. You will pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me. For you are my strength. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have ransomed me, O Lord, God of truth. I hate those who regard vain idols, but I trust in the Lord. I will rejoice and be glad in your loving kindness, because you have seen my affliction. You have known the troubles of my soul, and you have not given me over into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a large place. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye is wasted away from grief, my soul and my body also. For my life is spent with sorrow, and my years with sighing. My strength has failed because of my iniquity, and my body has wasted away. Because of all my adversaries, I have become a reproach, especially to my neighbors, and an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel, for I have heard the slander of many. Terror is on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they schemed to take away my life. But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Make your face to shine upon your servant. Save me in your loving kindness. Let me not be put to shame, O Lord, for I call upon you. Let the wicked be put to shame. Let them be silent in Sheol. Let the lying lips be mute, which speak arrogantly against the righteous with pride and contempt. How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you have wrought for those who take refuge in you before the sons of men. You hide them in the secret place of your presence from the conspiracies of man. You keep them secretly in a shelter from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has made marvelous his loving kindness to me in a besieged city. As for me, I said in my alarm, I am cut off from before your eyes. Nevertheless, you heard the voice of my supplications when I cried to you. Oh, love the Lord, all you, his godly ones. The Lord preserves the faithful and fully recompenses the proud doer. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who hope in the Lord. Psalm 34, the Lord, a provider and deliverer. A psalm of David when he feigned madness before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. Verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces will never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for to those who fear him there is no want. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves length of days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Psalm 52. Futility of boastful wickedness. For the choir director, a maskil of David, when Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul and said to him, David has come to the house of Ahimelech. Verse 1. Why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? The loving kindness of God endures all day long. Your tongue devises destruction like a sharp razor, O worker of deceit. You love evil more than good, falsehood more than speaking what is right. Selah. You love all words that devour, O deceitful tongue. But God will break you down forever. He will snatch you up and tear you away from your tent and uproot you from the land of the living. Selah. The righteous will see and fear and will laugh at him, saying, behold, the man who would not make God his refuge, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and was strong in his evil desire. But as for me, I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the loving kindness of God forever and ever. I will give you thanks forever because you have done it, and I will wait on your name, for it is good in the presence of your godly ones. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In these beautiful psalms that we read today, we find a similar vein running throughout them, and that is the writer, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, which was David, as identified in each of these psalms, was writing about the goodness of the Lord in protecting, preserving, and delivering him out of the hands of evildoers, protecting him from danger, not allowing his life to be trampled to the ground, and just a similar theme throughout each of these five psalms. And within these Psalms, we find a multitude of promises of God to protect and preserve the life of His children, those who trust in Him for His protection. And I want to encourage you today that God Himself fully intends for His people to be a people of faith, a people who trust God for their everyday life, and that God's interest in you is not purely spiritual, meaning that He doesn't care about your natural living, your natural life, your physical body, but on the contrary, that He loves to demonstrate His care for you through His protection of your physical life. And David certainly demonstrated this in his life. We've been reading in 1 Samuel of the difficulties that David faced, of the dangers that he faced, whether it was when he went up against an enemy army or when he fought Goliath, the giant from Gath, or when he was being chased unfairly, accused unrighteously, and trying to escape from the hands of a wicked king who wanted to see him dead. And so we see David crying out to God, and then also we see him praising God for the rescue, the deliverance, and the protection that he did receive from the Lord. And then we also see him encouraging those who read these Psalms or hear these Psalms to be like him in trusting the Lord and giving thanks for His goodness. One of the most precious promises among these five Psalms that I love dearly is the one that's found in Psalm 34. And it says in verse 7, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and rescues them." This is a promise of God for your life and for your family, that the Lord Himself has sent His angel to camp out around you. If you are one who loves and honors, reveres, respects, and fears God, then the angel of the Lord is on assignment for you to camp around you, to remain close to you, and to rescue you from danger. And this is one of my favorite verses in Scripture, Psalm 34, verse 7. "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and rescues them." And this is a verse of Scripture you should memorize, as well as I think you should memorize, if possible, all of Psalm 34, all of Psalm 27, these precious verses that speak about how God listens to the cries of His people and how He rescues them, delivers them out of their troubles, and sends His angel to help and to camp out and to guard and to deliver. Verse 19 of this same Psalm 34 makes another precious promise. It says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." You know, we live in a wicked world where there is sin abounding, where people who do not love God commit atrocities, commit evil attempts on people's lives, who try to harm people, and even who falsely accuse people, such as David experienced here in the book of 1 Samuel. And yet, the Lord promises, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous." Yes, there will be difficulty, trials, and tribulations that you will face in life, but God is your deliverer. God delivers him out of them all. It doesn't mean you don't face them, you don't walk through them, you don't experience them. But when it's all said and done, the Lord will deliver you out of them all. And that is God's precious promise here. I really love these promises of protection. God has given us His word of promise so that we can pray these promises. We can take hold of them by faith. We can plead them, so to speak, at His throne, saying, "Lord, You said this, and I thank You that it's true and that You always keep Your word. So I thank You that the angel of the Lord encamps around my family, around me, and always delivers me, rescues me from any dangerous situation." This is the promise of God for those who love, serve, and honor God. We have found many illustrations of this in the lives of so many saints, but I have a beautiful illustration from the life of a missionary whose name was Laurie Anderson. And Laurie Anderson was a missionary to a particular tribe of Indians in the jungles of Peru. These Indians were known to be headhunters, and they would literally shrink the heads of their enemies that they captured. After they cut off their heads, they'd shrink their heads and display them as trophies. So this woman had literally committed her life into the hands of God for supernatural protection, because she certainly needed it. Well, there was a story about her life that's very precious. She had gone for her daily time of Bible reading and prayer and was looking for a quiet place where she wouldn't be disturbed, so she went down by the edge of the river. After reading her Bible, she took up her prayer list. She had her eyes closed as she was praying through the different needs and names of people, and she didn't see as a deadly snake, an anaconda, which is a huge snake, which first bites its victim, then wraps it up in its huge coils and squeezes the life out of the victim before swallowing the victim whole. This is a deadly snake. She did not see this snake coming quietly through the water, and she didn't know it was about to attack her until she heard and felt the strike of the anaconda's fangs being sunk into her flesh of her arm. Screaming from the attack, and then she found herself suddenly being surrounded by the coils of this huge anaconda, and it began to literally wrap her up. But without explanation, she suddenly felt the snake release its prey. It relaxed its grip. As quickly as it had come and attacked her, it slithered back into the water and left. Later on, while she was being treated for the bite mark, a witch doctor from the nearby village burst into the hut where she was, staring at her. The witch doctor could not believe that the young missionary had survived the attack of the anaconda. This witch doctor told her that her son-in-law, also a witch doctor, had chanted to the spirit of the anaconda that morning and sent the snake to kill the young missionary. Later on, Laurie Anderson said, "I am certain that except for the protection of God, it would have worked and I would have died." God's protection is supernatural. It overcomes natural situations that should have, could have, and would have been deadly for the people of God. In this case, Laurie Anderson, that missionary to Peru, experienced the promise of God's protection. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear God and rescues them. Certainly that day, Laurie Anderson received rescue that was straight from God. The anaconda has never been known to release its prey. That was a supernatural intervention from God that saved that young missionary's life. But I could give you so many stories of God's protection of his people. But one that will hit home for us here in the United States is a story that comes from that very infamous day known as 9/11 here in the United States, September 11th, 2001. There was a man named Stanley. Stanley worked as an assistant vice president for a bank in the loan department, and his office happened to be located in the World Trade Center Tower 2. His office was on the 81st floor of that World Trade Center tower. He was standing in his office and happened to look out the window when he saw fire falling from the roof of World Trade Center Building 1. He immediately thought of his own boss, who actually had his office in that building, and immediately tried to call him to see if he was all right, but he got no answer. He decided to get the clerical person who was working in his office to go with him, and they would go down and get out of the building themselves because they didn't know what was happening with fire falling from the nearby building. They began to go down all the way to the bottom floor, where they were met by a security guard who asked them where they were going. Stanley replied that they were going to leave the building because they saw the fire in World Trade Center Tower number 1. The guard reassured them, "Oh, nothing's wrong. Our building's secured. You can go back to your office." Well, that turned out to be fatal advice for the other people in the group with him, because aside from Stanley himself and that clerk that was with them, they were the only ones that were going to survive. They went back upstairs as directed by that security guard. But within a few minutes, Stanley looked up to see a most unbelievable sight. United Airlines Flight 175, a plane that had been hijacked by terrorists, was heading straight for him. That was the plane that was going to strike the World Trade Center Tower number 2, and it was going to hit right on the floor that Stanley was standing in. He could see this big plane. He said it was all surreal. Time seemed to stand still. It was all going as if in slow motion. He said, "All I can see is this big gray plane with red letters on the wing and on the tail bearing down on me. The plane appeared to be 100 yards away, heading straight for me. I just prayed, 'Lord, you take control. I cannot help myself here.'" Stanley dove under his desk. His Bible was on top of his desk. He knew in his heart, he said later, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the Lord was going to take care of him. The plane tore into the side of his building and exploded. Miraculously, Stanley, who was a deacon for his church and a Sunday school superintendent, was completely unharmed. But he could see the wing of the plane in the doorway of his department. He needed to get out of that building fast, but he was trapped under debris. There was fire, there was jet fuel everywhere, and his office resembled a battle zone with walls flattened into dusty heaps and office equipment strewn violently, and flames were literally flickering around him. Suddenly, Stanley saw the flash of a flashlight, and his first thought was, "This is my guardian angel. My Lord sent somebody to save me." Stanley started screaming, and then his guardian angel couldn't get to him because a wall was between him and the staircase. Stanley continued to pray, got down on his knees. "Lord, you've got to help me. You've brought me this far. Help me to get to that staircase." He called out to the man behind the wall. "There's one thing I've got to know. Do you know Jesus?" The man replied that he went to church every Sunday. Then they prayed together for strength to break through the wall. Stanley stood up and said he felt as if power had come over him. And he spoke to the wall and said, "You're going to be no match for me and my Lord." Moments later, he punched his way through the wall. And with the help of the man on the other side, he was able to squirm his way through the hole in that wall. The men had a long way to go. They had 81 floors that they had to climb down. And unbeknownst to them, the building they were in was in danger of collapse in a few moments. They ran as fast as they could. When they finally made it to the bottom level of the building, they could see that the concourse was surrounded with fire. They got themselves wet under the building sprinkler system, held hands, and ran through the flames and headed straight to a church they could see about 2 blocks away. Stanley said, "I wanted to go to church to thank God. As soon as I touched the gate of that church, the World Trade Center Tower number 2, which they had just fled from, collapsed." God is able to protect, to deliver, and to rescue, regardless of what danger you may face in your life. These Psalms that we've read today reflect David's faith in a God who could rescue, a God who could deliver, a God who could protect from enemies, could protect from danger, could do supernatural deliverances like we heard about in both the story of the missionary and the story of Stanley as he escaped from the World Trade Center tower. Take these scriptures which you heard today, and I especially encourage you to take Psalm 27 and then these verses from Psalm 34 and begin to pray them over yourself daily and over your family. Let the Lord help you to live a life that's free from fear, but filled with trust in God for His ability to protect you. I love David's words when he says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries, my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear." That is God's will for your life as well. He wants you to be a fearless person, fearless not out of foolishness, but fearless because you love and serve a God who is able to rescue and deliver from any and every type of danger. David believed it, and David received it in his personal life. David counted on it, and so he received countless rescues from God, countless deliverances from God. He wrote in Psalm 27, "In the day of trouble, God will conceal me in His tabernacle. In the secret place of His tent, He will hide me." You know, there are times when we literally need God to hide us from enemies, from criminals, from people who would attack you or harm you or your children. But if you can teach your children that God is a God who causes His angels to encamp around you to deliver you, that will give them a sense of security that they can never have in any natural person or thing. And I love to pray that prayer when I get on a plane. "Lord, I thank You that You have caused Your angel to have charge over me. I thank You that the angel of the Lord encamps around me to deliver me." I pray that with thanksgiving, not begging God to do it, but thanking Him He is doing it, because these are promises. So when you have a promise, you don't beg God to do it. You thank God He's made the promise, and God is a God who doesn't lie. So you say, "Lord, thank You that You have promised that the angel of the Lord encamps around me. Thank You that You promised to hide me in the secret place of Your presence. Thank You that You keep me in the shelter of Your secret place. Thank You that You preserve those who love You." And when you pray that way, God is so blessed to answer the prayer of faith. He always responds to faith. And faith is when you trust in the word that God has said, when you trust in the promise of the Lord that He has written in His word. That's faith. God loves that, and He looks to find the person who believes Him, and then He honors the faith that they demonstrate to Him. David said, "As for me, I trust in You, O Lord." Let that be your prayer today for yourself and for your family, and God will honor the prayer of faith. God bless you and give you a dynamic week.